Chapter 19. Marvid followed Kratheus down 100 meters of durasteel corridor, all the while fighting the urge to activate an arm cannon and start blasting. Naturally, Marvid had known all along that Han Solo was playing on his emotions, trying to turn him against his own brother. But the human was good. Solo had a way of picking at psychic scabs, even a Kalumai's psychic scabs, and understanding the man's strategy had done little to stop it from working. Of course, Marvid recognized that the strategy had worked only because he already had suspicions about his brother's loyalty. Calrissian's offer to strike a separate deal had been a crude ploy, which made the delay in bringing it to Marvid's attention even more disturbing. Clearly, Kratheus had wanted time to analyze the offer, and that could only reflect the degree to which he had been tempted. To Marvid's surprise, the messenger led them completely out of the laboratory wing and into the barracks annex. Kratheus transmitted a complaint about Savara expecting them to come to her. Marvid ignored him. Kratheus felt threatened by the girl's strategy of trying to insert herself between them, and at that moment, Marvid wanted his brother to feel threatened. Besides, Savara was a valuable asset to him, one that balanced his brother's control of the Mandalorians, and he was glad to have her safely back at base prime. Finally, the Mandalorian opened the airtight hatch of a security team briefing room and stepped aside. Inside, Savara stood at the front of the room, still dressed in a crimson flight suit as she had dressed half a dozen Mandalorian officers. They were all studying the wall-sized vidscreen, which showed a detailed schematic of Base Prime's layout. The heavy weapons emplacements were highlighted in bright yellow. As the Kreps whirred into the room, Savara glanced in their direction, then turned back to the Mandalorians.
"That's all for now. I'm sure you'll be receiving orders shortly."
The Mandalorians looked warily at the Kreps, then nodded brusquely and departed. Marvid started toward the aisle that ran up the center of the room between the metal benches. Kratheus sped up a smaller aisle along the wall and beat him to the front of the room.
"You are growing presumptuous, Savara," Kratheus said. "It is we who issue the orders, not you."
Savara's eyes grew cold and narrow, and she seemed to be debating the wisdom of killing him on the spot, deciding he wasn't ready to disabuse her of the idea that she might actually be capable of playing the brothers off each other. Marvid raced the rest of the way and stopped at her side.
"Pay Kratheus no attention," Marvid said. "Captain Solo has put us both in a foul temper."
By way of explanation, he looked toward the end of his power body's armrest. Savara's eyes quickly followed, but when her gaze fell on his still inflamed fingertips, her expression betrayed neither the sympathy nor respect he had expected, merely puzzlement.
"What happened?" she asked. "You stick your fingers in a power socket?"
Marvid had his power body spread its pincer arms.
"Hardly. Bardoon wanted to play pain stakes," he said, "and Captain Solo agreed. What can I say? I thought it would be fun to see Solo suffer."
Savara's brow arched.
"You let Bardoon play sabacc?" she asked. "With you?"
"Why wouldn't we?" Kratheus demanded. "He's our employee."
"He's your mistake," Savara retorted. "You should never have sent him through the gate with me. He nearly got us both killed."
"And yet you returned him to us alive,"
Marvid said.
"Before he went Barvy,"
Savara pointed out.
"Besides, you needed to see him. You should know what will happen if you go in there yourselves."
"Your concern is noted," Kratheus said. "And so is your fear that once we have acquired the Force ourselves, you will no longer be needed.